If you're just joining us on this Saturday morning, we're joined with Farmer Greg talking urban farming. As we went to break, we were talking about making Phoenix and every community in Arizona its own standalone
food secure space.
Food secure space. Yeah. And if you grow your own food, you don't have to worry about a lot of these things like what romaine lettuce to buy at the store.
Or cauliflower a week or so ago, yeah.
You never had a recall at the urban farm.
Right, exactly. A lot of that happens because of the immense amount of fertilizers and manures that they're bringing in from who knows where. And when you're growing it in a small space like yours, you're just not running into those kind of pathogens. It's never been a problem for me in 29 years. Let me put it that way.
And like you said, you've just got to start small. And that's actually part of our segment next Saturday, talking about edibles in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a guest in talking about what the natives used to eat that's in our local plant life, and then what you've brought in and have had success with on your fruit tree program.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to start small. You can't just jump into this head over heels or you get burned out. I did it.
Yeah. I done it. I got several projects that aren't done right now because I got in too deep. What I tell people to do is start small. And the cool thing is that herbs are the most expensive thing to buy. And quite honestly, they're the easiest thing to grow. You can grow basil on your countertop in a sunny windowsill. It's really that simple. And so, you know, start there. And if you want to graduate to a few pots on an eastern-facing patio, that's really easy as well.
And is an herb an evergreen? Will it just continue to live and live, or does it have like a vegetable, a short couple-month window?
You mean like the herbs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends. Cilantro and parsley are annuals, so they grow out and go to seed every year. Rosemary, oregano, thyme, those are perennials, so you plant them once and they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger over time. Basil also is an annual. You plant it every year.
Okay.
Yeah, I see homeowners planting rosemary mm-hmm. and basil around the yard, and it just grows and grows and grows.
Oh,
is
yeah.
that also a good bug deterrent? You can use it for cooking, but also a bug
yes.
deterrent? Absolutely.
Yeah, the wow. fragrance has mm-hmm. a tendency to keep them away. And the cool thing is, when they go to seed, when rosemary's flowering, when basil, oregano is flowering, they are covered with bees. They bring in the bees like you wouldn't believe.
Which is a good thing. We need the bees.
Absolutely is a good thing. I'll get questions from people occasionally, and they say, hey, I have this zucchini. And it makes zucchinis that are about an inch and a half long, and then they shrivel up and die. What's up with that? Well, they didn't get pollinated. And since I let herbs go to seed and flower at the urban farm, we don't have any problem with pollination issues like that anymore. So that's one of the things that I plant a lot of is herbs and flowers at the urban farm to bring in the pollinators so that we don't have to worry about things not getting pollinated.
So we started off small with herbs on our window sills. You can do little pots on patios.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned when people think farm, we think big, huge, massive acres.
Right.
Urban farm, we're on a third of an acre here. Pots on patios, there's a lot of lot sizes that are similar to that. A lot of people that might be in condos or apartments.
Oh, yeah.
You're not eliminated from growing your own food source.
Not at all. There's many different things to do. I told a little white lie a little while ago. I haven't actually lived at the urban farm for 29 years. I've lived there for 28 years. And about 5-6 years ago, I moved out for a year. I just, it was like, I need a break. And I moved in to a townhome in Peoria. So I lived in Peoria for just under a year. And we had a 200 square foot back patio that faced south. That's a bonus. And I grew basically everything that I grew at the urban farm, I grew there. So we were growing carrots and beets and Swiss chard and kale and so on and so on. So you don't need a lot of space. And the other really cool thing is I have something called a tower garden. If you just go look up tower garden on the internet, it is a hydroponic growing system that looks like a Christmas tree when it's all grown out, and you just harvest it and eat it. And mine holds 28 plants, so you get 28 plants when they're an inch and a half tall and let them grow out. And that's another great way to provide all your greens in the winter for you.
In a very small amount of space, because you're only using up the circumference of the base
of
the tower garden, which is the water container.
Yep, 2 foot diameter, and so it's, you know,
28 plants.
Yep, 28 plants growing in there. So that, you know, that's an amazing way to go as well.
And that tower garden, is that mainly for herbs and that type of thing? I mean, you wouldn't put a carrot in there.
Correct. You don't do root crops in the tower garden. I do herbs, a little bit of herbs, but mostly greens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we eat salads 3, 4, or 5 times a week at the urban farm, and it's nice to have those greens that we just go out and harvest and stick in the salad.
Could you do tomatoes in that too as well?
You could do tomatoes. You could absolutely do a tomato. If I was going to do a tomato in it, I'd put it on the bottom row. Because it's vertical.
Oh, so, I see. Okay. I had to think for a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the top of the Christmas tree or the top of the food tree, I put spinach is what's currently growing on the top of my tower garden.
Okay. Because of the tomato vine, it would obviously consume everything from
exactly.
the top to the bottom once it took off. Okay.
Exactly.
So that is kind of hydroponic-ish?
Yeah, well, they actually call it aeroponics.
Okay.
Hydroponics, the roots are in water all the time. With aeroponics, basically what they do in a tower garden is it's 20-gallon tank of water at the bottom, and it pumps, it uses a little pump, and it pumps it up, and it trickles down through this center tube and nutrifies and waters the roots of the plants.
Have you ever messed with any hydroponics?
I've done a little bit of hydroponics, and it's, you know, it's absolutely doable here. It's just, you know, it's one of those systems. I've done aquaponics, which is
that was my next question. You had mentioned earlier one of your first jobs as an entrepreneur was converting
swimming pools into fish ponds. Yep, I did that in the late 70s. That was fun. So, yeah, raising fish. Basically, an aquaponics system is what we call a fish-powered system. And the fish poop provides the fertilizer for the plants, and the plants clean the water for the fish. It's, you know, it's basically natural,
and
natural systems going on there.
There's a certain amount of produce you get.
Oh, yeah.
Plants, and there's a certain amount of fish.
Fish,
you get.
If you want to raise fish, absolutely.
Is there a type of fish? It seems like
tilapia.
Yeah, seems to be the popular one.
Yeah, tilapia is the popular one. And I've actually raised tilapia at the urban farm and eaten them years and years ago, actually decades ago. I was playing with growing fish on property in 89, 90, 91.
I think I may have just set myself a big, audacious goal.
Uh-oh.
If I'm eating fish, I like halibut. Can we mash seawater and aquaponics together for all this so
if
I can at least
can,
have a
I'm
fish
coming over to your place.
Yeah,
I love
no, that's
halibut.
Not going to work.
What kind of fish? I mean,
tilapia.
Just any other fish you could?
I've played with
I do like me some fried catfish.
Okay.
I've played with fat catfish before. In fact, I love this story. In 1978 or 79, I converted this guy's swimming pool into a fish pond. And, you know, that's the business I was in back then. And, you know, I was 20 years old and I knew how to do it in my head. And so we did it and I went on. And in 2008, I wrote a book called Grow Wherever You Go. And the book is stories about what people are doing and where they're growing food at. And I put a email out to every, you know, all my communities, and I said, send me your stories. And I get this email from a gentleman named Robert Gilsdorf, and he's talking about in the late 70s how he converted his swimming pool into a fish pond, and then for the next 15 years every year they would raise catfish and do a catfish harvest on a Saturday and a catfish fry on the Sunday. And the cool thing was, is that was the pool that I did that job. That was my job that I did back then. So it, you know, it kind of came back around for me, 78, 88, 98, 08, 30 years later.
But the bummer is you never got invited to the fish fry.
There you go.
Gosh.
So, you know.
And you would probably need something swimming pool size to pull off catfish. You couldn't do catfish in an aquaponic thing that you could.
Oh, you could.
Could you?
Yeah.
I've heard tilapia you could put in a a 2 by 2 foot space with mud and get me.
Yeah, but we don't want to do that to them. One of the tanks that I worked on was an 8 foot diameter tank. So it was cylindrical and it was like 8 feet tall, and we had catfish in it. And, you know, it was a system that worked. So.
Well, that's always something I've been very intrigued by, the aquaponic side of things.
Mm-hmm. That, I remember, though, that was decades ago. So, it's come a long way.
So what else do we have here talking about when we're going back to the soils where most of us are going to be doing it, whether it's in pots or out our backyard or raised garden beds, keyhole garden type structures? We go back to the soil, back to the earth. And there is something about just working with the dirt that just makes you grounded.
In fact, just in the past couple of weeks, there's an article that came out that said if you're a gardener, you could live up to 100.
I just saw that article today. It's in the BBC.com.
That was an interesting article. So they're coming up with
moving up and down.
Yeah, they're coming out with content like that. And really, your biggest job as a grower here in the desert, really anywhere, your biggest job as a grower is to create healthy soil. And there are 5 components to healthy soil. And if you try and plant in the dirt that you have in your backyard or front yard, good luck with that. Planting fruit trees, planting trees, planting gardens in the dirt that we have. Although dirt is one of the components of healthy soil, if that's all you have, it's just not going to work. So your job is to create healthy soil, and there's 5 components to healthy soil. They are dirt, which is broken down rock, which has the micronutrients in it, but if all you have is the dirt, the plants can't get the micronutrients out. So dirt, airspace, so the soil can breathe a little bit, water, so it keeps it moist. Let's see here, dirt, airspace, water, organic matter. So this is compost, leaves, mulch, whatever kind of organic matter you want to add. We'll talk about that more in a minute. And all the life that's in the soil. Now, Emily Rocky down at Tanks Green Stuff has done some research, and she's found that there is less than 1% organic matter in our soils in the desert. And
what's your best growing condition? You want a 10%, 50%?
Good question. I've never measured it that way. But what I often will do,
know 1% is not good.
1% is not good, exactly. One of the things that that I do is I just add compost right on top and then plant. So I'll tell you a quick story here of Jan's garden.
Okay. Gary's going to make us do it after the break. Hang tight. We're talking with Farmer Greg, Urban Farm. It's urbanfarm.org if you'd like to learn more information. And we'll be talking about the soil story and a little bit about next week in the fruit tree program. Yep. Get started on your own.